got him boxed in there, making him throw those 3, 4, 7, and 10-yard passes. And it wasn't until about the fourth quarter when they finally turned him loose and let him start throwing the ball down the field. And I'm going to credit Butch Jones, because I like to beat up on Butchie Boy. But I want to credit him with sticking with Dormady tonight and not going to Garantano, because I think that was the right move to make. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with you exactly. Dormady played. He played a pretty good. He played a good ball game. First half, you know, kind of shaky a little bit,
Tony, they didn't let him throw the ball down the field.
That's what I'm saying. You know, we didn't get him off. We didn't get him off like we're supposed to. You understand what I'm saying? What they should have done was, you know, we keep him in the pocket. We got to move him around a little bit, move the pocket for him, let him get comfortable, let him get his confidence up. And we've seen more of that in the second half.
Tony knows Garantano from seeing him a ton in practice, and he said to me during the game, the first couple series, he goes, "What are we doing? We're hamstringing him.
You know,
get him on the outside, let him use his arm, let him use his athleticism, and let him throw the ball downfield. This is college football. This is not NFL football, and it's a point well taken." You know, I'll tell you another thing that's curious about their approach tonight. The one deep, deep, deep ball he threw was to a tight end.
Yeah, down the middle.
They threw him on the middle of the field.
And it was a good throw. Should have been caught.
Great throw.
I mean, great touch on the ball. Should have been caught. But, you know, like I say, back to his main question is Tentano. You know, looking at him on the field, which was, I didn't want to see that. I didn't want to see that. I didn't want to see that by Tentano, because, you know, when you looked at him on the field, he wasn't even there. You know, he wasn't there. And Butch done the right thing by keeping Dormady in the game, because he didn't do anything to he wouldn't do anything to hurt the game.
Two things I love.
He was managing the game.
It's how Tony, because he has trouble pronouncing an Italian last name, in Tentano. Calls him Tentano.
Tentano.
And then Jerry Colquitt calls Shy Tuttle what, Bino?
Ty Shuttle.
Ty Shuttle is an awesome name. So you guys
have
what we call VFL privilege here. You can call him Tentano and Ty Shuttle, and our caller continue.
Hey, T. Rob, and here's another thing. I think one of the things that made you such a great quarterback, along with T. Martin, when T. Martin came in over there, and that I think is going to make Dormady an excellent quarterback, you guys had a couple years in the system over there. You didn't come in and get thrown in there as a first or second year player. You guys, when y'all got in there as juniors, you were ready to roll.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, I can understand where the young man is coming from, but you know, you got to wait your turn. Quentin has been there for 2 years behind Dobbs, and you know, if he hadn't learned anything yet, then he's not going to learn anything. So this is his chance now. This is his ball team. And I thought he done a pretty good job with it tonight. You know, even though they only had the ball for 20 minutes, 19 minutes or so for the whole ball game. And to come out.
Hey, Tony, from looking at those stats in the first half, because there's two things I keep up on my computer when I'm watching it, and that's our roster, and that's the live game stats. His stats were so horrible in the first half. I was really surprised that Butchie Boy put him back in there to start the second half, especially when Garantano had his helmet on over there. But I was glad he stuck with him. And to the previous caller that was talking about Ty Chandler, how can he have one carry and be as explosive as he was on that one carry, and then he goes into the witness protection program, and you never see him the rest of the game? And don't get me wrong, I love John Kelly.
Superstar Alex, you have something you want to add, and thank you for the phone call. Go ahead, Superstar Alex.
Two quick things. One thing, I got a question for you, Tony. Tony Robinson, that is. You talk about Dormady being a little hamstrung at first with those short routes. To me, it almost looked like, we all know he's got a big arm. It almost looked like he was short-arming on the first couple of drives when he was thrown. Did it look like that to you, or was I just misreading
that? You know, he had a couple good passes that were dropped. Then he had a few that where he was behind the guy, a receiver, but also he was throwing off his back foot. He was throwing off his back foot. They were, wasn't a lot of pressure, but he was throwing without his complete follow through.
Yeah, it looked like he was stopping.
Yeah, short arming it. And, but like second half, you know, I think he found his rhythm. He got a little better, you know, controlling the ball more. And the offensive line started coming together. I think offense starts coming together in the second half, which was better. I mean, hey, that's why this game is two halves. Understand what I'm saying? It's two halves of this ball game, you know. So I think overall I would give them a C minus for that performance, but we'll come out with a win.
And then the other thing I was going to say, referring to Dormady and the passing game in general, is, you know, when T. Higgins was getting recruited, and I'm an Oak Ridge guy, so, you know, being knows, you know, a lot of people said, well, he's not going to go here because they don't throw the ball downfield, and that's been a big complaint with a lot of us is, you know, you got to stretch the field at some point. Marquez Callaway tonight averaged 28.5 yards, I believe, 28 yards per catch. So maybe finally, well, Callaway could be that guy.
Well, I mean, you know, with Callaway, Juwan Jennings, I mean, hey, there's a lot of possibilities there. And also, like I said, I'll take a 5-yard route any day of the week. You know, first down play, I get 5 yards. I'm second and five now. I'm ahead now. Understand what I'm saying? A 5-yard completion can turn into an 80-yard touchdown. So let's not take away anything here. You know, I take the 80-yarder either way it comes.
865-200-5402. Some great points. And let's go back to our phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome in. You're on your Garza Law. Fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, Tony.
Welcome in.
I just got a couple of things to add to the conversation here tonight. But the two things that before the season started that I had concerns about were the offensive line and the defense. I thought running back would be fine, wide receiver, quarterback. All those would be fine, but those offensive line and defense were my concerns. And after tonight, they're still the same ones. They're still concerns. And I just didn't look like we've made a lot of improvement, even though late in the game, the offense did look a little better on the up front. What are your thoughts on that?
Go around the room, Bino.
No, I can understand completely why those would still be your two concerns. I don't see anything defensively that we can look at and say, we're in pretty good shape there, because we're not. We've got a lot of work to do there. And on the offensive side, I would agree with you. I like our skill positions right now a little better than I do our offensive line. I'm hopeful that Drew Richmond's made the strides that they've told us he has, and that his return will kind of solidify that line a little bit, and they'll perform a little bit better going on. I do like that our offense was a closer. They played really well down the stretch when we had to have them play down the stretch, and
right.
that means a lot to me.
It did to me, too. I was impressed by their late game performance, which was pleasant to see. And hearing Tony talk at the first that Petulie wasn't even in Bob Shoup's plans, I don't even know what Bob Shoup's plans are, and I don't think he does, but not having Petulie out there is a joke.
People are not going to believe what I just said, but nobody else is going to tell you that. That is a stone cold, put it in writing fact, what I'm telling you right there. About he was not in his plans. If you talk to anybody close to that thing that follows it, they will say, that's a fact, Jack. Because that's a fact. And how did that make any sense, guys? I want somebody to tell me how that makes any sense to anybody that watched tonight's football game that could be the case. Tony, go ahead. Talk to me.
Let me tell you, that was the first guy I noticed on the field was number 35. And I'm like, who was number 35?
I was like, exactly.
And it was like Petulie on all. Man, this Petulie kid is balling. And I'm like, this is my guy. This is my guy here. I got to make it a point to go see Mr. Petulie. You know, this kid is a baller. He can play for me anything. He can play for me.
He was wrecking people on the first series.
No. But here's the thing. The coordinator doesn't like him because he values cerebralness over physical ability. I'm taking the guy with physical ability that can flat out play. I'm sorry. I put my playmakers on the field. And it's a similar thing with TK Jr. Hey, TK Jr., they could talk all they want about him being slow. Is TK Jr., Tony, does he have ball skills, or am I imagining things? Talk to me.
This kid's got ball skills. This kid's always running the ball. He is always running the ball.
I mean, he might be a step slower, whatever people say about him. Come on,
man. But he's around the ball, man. He's around the ball. Yeah. He led the team in interceptions last year. So, I mean, what tells you? What part of that do you understand?
But he didn't play. You know, he didn't hardly see the field, so whatever.
Man, I tell you, it's unbelievable.
And that darn trash can, they can put Bob Shoup and his contract in that trash can and about half the defense if they want to.
Along with college football replay and some of their ticket policies these days, there's a lot of things that go inside that garbage can, brother.
And I've got a promotion for the fans at the ball games. Everybody needs to get a little small orange trash can, and when the defense takes the field, just put your trash can over your head. That we don't have to watch that crap.
Superstar Alex, you have a thought. Go ahead. Yeah, thank you for the call.
Talk about another thing to put in the trash cans. What about those horrendous angles that we keep having to see where we're down on field level in the middle of a kickoff return, and I have no idea what yard line this guy's at. Why is that necessary?
It's the same. Well, don't get me started on that.
Well, I'll switch the topic back to what we were talking about. Talking about defensive players that everybody's sitting there going, why are they not on the field? It's no different than on offense. Last year, the year before, I think it was last year, when Jack Jones couldn't find the field after he had come out in the Georgia game. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's not a first-time thing.
Bino, you want to say a final word here on the way out because it's past 2, and I got to grab my man Colquitt, so go ahead.
Well, one quick comment on what you said, and then I'll make a final comment and get out of the way. You know, coaches are notorious for not believing that there are guys who are gamers. Tony, you're a player, not a coach. You know good and well there are guys who don't show up that much on the practice field who walk out there on Saturday and the light comes on and they're a better player than they've ever shown in practice. Is that not the truth?
I was one.
So here's what we got. We caught a break tonight.
Oh, yeah.
In the fact that Batuli, they were, because of their linebacker situation, they were basically forced to put him on the field. Now they'll be forced to leave him out there because everybody knows.
Everybody knows. Yeah. You know, there's not many guys going to come out there with 20-plus tackles a game. You know what I'm saying?
No. And everybody knows they're going to have to play him. So
right.
We caught a break there.
Yeah. And this kid, I watched him. He was on the ball every time. He was around. You know, he reminds me of that young guy we had last year. Maven, Reeves Maven, my man?
No,
hey, very active.
You know, very active, man. Very active. So go ahead, Bino. Go ahead.
Well, guys, there's a lot, there's a lot to be fixed here. But one thing that doesn't need to be fixed is our record. Somehow, some way, we're 1-0.
1-0.
And I'd rather be us than Georgia Tech.
You got that right, my brother. Yes, that's true. That is true.
Guys, I enjoyed it. It's always a pleasure to be on with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bino. Love you, man. And the great Bino has left the building. And the great Jerry Colquitt is about to enter the building. And I just tell you, this is a lot of fun, getting a chance to do this. Let's go ahead in the meantime and go back to our phones. We're going to have 2 Vol quarterbacks with us here on your Garza Law 5th Quarter Fan Reaction as we've reached past 2 o'clock in the Eastern Time Zone. And here we still are doing our thing as promised. And, boy, superstar Alex Myers and Tony Robinson are tremendous additions. This show is better than ever before, and it ain't even close with the team around us this year. You can go ahead and write that in stone. Let's get our next call in here, as there had been a line available all night long, except for one little minor law, but now we're back, and we'll get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Good Tuesday morning, brother. Brian, Carcer, you.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Good morning, man. Hey, listen, you guys have touched it. Well, I've been on hold, both of my comments. Tony, T-Rob there opened up to a little bit, but Tony, I want to hear the Bacilios. Let me ask you this, man. The he couldn't be more obvious. Me and Tanner, my son, both are Garantano fans. Obviously wanted to ride it out the way Coach had done. We believe that Dormady was the guy for now, but I think we all could agree that we thought we'd see some of Dormady and looked forward to it. He turned off thousands of fans, in my opinion, Tony. I mean it. I think he turned off thousands by that attitude tonight. It was sad.
You know, by watching him, by seeing it on TV, man, it was like, oh my God, I know this kid's not, like, he's not even there. He don't want to be there. Like, he didn't want to be there.
Now, here's the thing about Tony that I know, is Tony has a personal interest in these guys. He takes them aside. He spends some time at you, T-Rob. I'm going to brag on you a little bit. And T-Rob, you're already, and we're not going to name any names, but you were already going to counsel one young person. And now after tonight, you got two. And will you say something to Garantano? Will you walk up to him and say, hey, man, look, I've been in your shoes. Will you do that?
Yeah, I'm going to say tomorrow. I'm going to tomorrow. And I know it's going to be a light day for him tomorrow. But
yeah.
I'm going over there tomorrow to talk to the guys, you know, mm-hmm. see a few of them. And I'm going to make it a point to go see Catano, you know, Titano, whatever it is.
Titano, as you call him. And it's Titano, fair because Tony's been in his shoes, man. Been in Titano's shoes.
This is not – this league – you got few guys that can come in as a freshman or whatever and start this game, but
yeah.
But then you got to look what he's been handed to him already. You know, Jalen Hurt, he didn't have to do much last year. You know,
no doubt about it. This guy here is a kid that's been here in the program for a year.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about today, Tone, that's different from when you were a kid. You come in, you didn't have everybody and their mother leaning on you, telling you how great you were, how great you were going to be. And this young guy, hey, it's tough. This young guy, for the first time in his life, it's not all right. It's not all going his way.
It's not going his way.
And it's a different deal.
Right.
And look, to be honest with you, I thought they would script it and they would play him tonight because now he's a flight risk. I mean, make no mistake about it. You saw it. You saw what I saw. The guy's a flight risk.
But, you know,
at some point, you just got to say to a kid, hey, look, this is the way it's going to work. You can't be over there on the bench pouting because you turned off thousands of people. And, Brian, that's a great point that you just brought up.
Well, and real quick, not to beat a dead horse, he's a kid. He's going to be okay. Well, I don't know why the coach should have him doing, you know, like you usually see the second quarterback doing, ready to go, standing beside the coach, doing fake plays or fake calls or maybe the real call, whatever, being engaged. He was so disengaged. He looked like Smokey over there, Pop.
Well, I bet Smokey was more active. That's a shame.
He was over there biting his face.
I hate that for him because it's not a good look. It's not a good look for Tennessee. And, you know, maybe tonight that belongs in the garbage can. We're making a list of things that belong in the garbage can. Not a good look from Garantano, no doubt. And doesn't help when Kirk Herbstreit's on there saying as much, you know?
Let's make it pause real quick, and I'll jump out. What about Galloway, man? Good grief. Did he not come just out of nowhere? My son had told me to keep an eye on him. He was going to be kind of a Jenkins kind of guy, and I expected to see a flash, but, man, talk about stepping up and next man up. To take Butchie Boy's next man up. There you go. Great sight to see. Love to see John Kelly tonight. I was excited that little flash with Ty Chandler. You know what? Tonight could have been, if that had been different offense, think about it. We can't make that excuse, but a different offense that we were, you know, more used to, we probably would have had them on two or three touchdowns tonight. But
oh, yeah. I mean, based on what we did against Vanderbilt last year and no, sir. Appreciate the phone call. The bottom line with our coordinator is that it's a broken record with him, and every time somebody takes the field against us, they break a new record. Now, tonight, I mean, look, yeah, okay, the option, triple option, whatever. What are you doing in your secondary? Bob Shoup, what are you doing in your secondary? What is that? What were you doing with your defensive line tonight? Exactly what was that? And I'm going to bring Jerry Colquitt in here momentarily. But, Alex, you wanted to make a point. Go ahead.
Well, you know, everybody talks about how tough it is to defend with Georgia Tech's offense, triple option, and I get that.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. From here on out, max, and this is if somebody's coming off a bye week, Georgia Tech's opponents get 2 weeks, and that's if they have a bye week. But pretty much everybody's going to get a week to prepare for them. And Georgia Tech still loses several games each year. You know, they don't go undefeated. We had months to prepare. So, to me, the whole difficult against running a defense, you know, against this type of offense, that's out of the question because you had 3, 4, 5, 6 months. You know you're playing this game to prepare for this. And I know that that's not what they were doing the whole summer. I get that. But you knew that, and you knew it was coming, and you could prepare for it as much and as often as you want.
Let's grab Jerry Colquitt. We'll bring him into the mix and into the hunt. Jerry, you've got the great Tony Robinson. I'm Tony Basilio.
Wow.
Superstar Alex Myers is alongside. Jerry, I'd like your thoughts on what we saw. A clean shave for Tennessee tonight, but they get through on a night where Tennessee makes a count all night long. Zero turnovers to two. Georgia Tech had two. Tennessee, none. Tennessee in the red zone tonight, 5 of 5 with 35 red zone points tonight, Jerry. They made it count. 35 red zone points. And Georgia Tech only had 41 red zone points tonight, Jerry.
Well, Tony.
Have you ever in your born days seen anything like what we saw tonight?
That game was crazy. All of a sudden, going through it all again, and Tony, I pretty much ran out of paper. I wrote so many notes. I'm almost through the end of the fourth quarter here since the game ended. But there's just so many things that happened just from quarter one to quarter two. The thing that people might not have picked up, am I echoing on your end?
Go ahead, G. Well, go ahead, Jerry. We got you.
Yeah, okay.
How you doing? You doing well.
Yeah, so what I saw, Tony, from quarter one to quarter two, was that Tennessee shut down their base option offense. And it was brilliant to see because what Coach Johnson did on Georgia Tech, and he had to throw out the kitchen sink because we were taking away the dive. We were taking away phase two, the quarterback keep, and the pitch. So what he started doing, T. Robin, you'll appreciate this.
Yeah.
Like in the blog, we talked about it. They went to the one back, full back counters. They even started running the power play.
Yeah.
Out of their flex bone, where they were pulling two linemen and they handed it off to the backside guy. Those were things that they don't even go to unless you can shut down phase one, the dive, two and three, the keep and the pitch. So to me, I think we have to. Be hats off to Tennessee's defense that they were able to force them to switch things up because I think they were having a hard time between most of that first quarter before they had to go to their next group of players because you can tell when I'm sitting there charting, I'm going, man, like I hadn't seen that in the film that I watched. So hats off to Tennessee for making them pretty much run every play that they had in their offensive playbook tonight.
Yeah, Georgia Tech made adjustments to our defense, but our defense didn't make adjustments to their offense later on, you know what I mean? Because that power play, we didn't stop that play all night, man. That power play, that's a heck of a play.
Yes, it is, and one of the things that I wonder a little bit sometimes, and especially with the departure of Derek Barnett, I'll put down in my notes, the one thing with Derek Barnett, the value of him is that he was a two, he had the skill level, he had the high level motor to come off and be an effective pass rusher at the collegiate level, as well as, play against a 300 pound tackle and, hold down edge against edge runs. And tonight I thought, from our defensive guys, Daryl Taylor, and some of the others that play defensive end tonight, Tony, I didn't think that they did a very good job. They were getting blown off the ball. Georgia Tech, they don't play with any tight end. So it was just their offensive tackle versus our, defensive ends. And I thought tonight's lack of size, I guess, from our defensive end definitely showed up tonight.
Jerry, what'd you think of Tennessee's scout and what they tried to do early in that game?
Which side of the ball are you talking about, Tony?
You take a side of the ball because you did a good scout for us. Does it look to you like they were looking at the same film you were?
Yeah. Let's take their offense, for instance. So every game that I watched,
unless you stop, you know, that, like we talked about, phase one, phase two, phase three, the base triple option, okay? Tony, they were running until the cows came home. You also saw how when we were able to make them go to some of their secondary plays, how then it also opened up some of the things down the field, which I thought we that kind of played out like we thought. And for us, I thought it was just a matter of hanging in there. Tony, at one point, they had drives of 12, 16, and 11 plays. And I knew, and we talked about this, how does Tennessee between quarters two and three, you know, how do they react to being on the field a long time? And it's hard to simulate that in practice until you actually are out there in the heat of the moment. And that's when you know how you're going to react to it. I think the offense bailed them out a couple of times to, you know, keep them alive and keep them energetic with being able to put some points up on the board. But our defense, man, that was a hell of a test because they got every sort of run thrown at them, you know, out of that triple option set. And they were out there, I think at one point, they had the ball three times as much as we did. So, man, it was nice. Dormady, I thought Dormady was effective. I thought early on he wasn't letting the ball just fly out of his hands. I thought you saw a couple times in there, I was charting down, this guy can really fit it into some of those tight windows. Jennings, that third down play I thought was key. I thought that allowed them to have a little bit of early momentum when he didn't catch that short cross right over the center there and turn out field and get the first down. And we were doing silly stuff like that. And I thought once we ran the ball straight and they let, you know, allowed John Kelly to get loose, I just thought it was tough the way they were trying to manage the first part of that game.
Jerry, and then we'll go to the phones. Are we as bad on defense as I think we are, or am I overreacting to just a bad matchup?
It'll be interesting because I think we're good in the middle. I think because you got to also expect that teams aren't just going to be on the field as long as what you saw tonight. So I feel pretty good at where we are at defensive tackle.
Now, hang on a second. Teams are not going to be on the field, or our team is not going to be on the field?
Other teams' offenses, you're probably not going to see them sustain that many back to. I think they had three back-to-back-to-back drives.
Okay, did you watch a Vanderbilt game last year? I mean, am I missing something here? Everybody sustains long drives against us.
Not disagreeing, Tony, with that particular game, but you got to take into account the teams that are on our schedule. And lots of these teams, they just don't play that way. You know, Vanderbilt is probably an exception. But I would say size at defensive end showed up tonight. Justin Martin, I didn't think that he played very well. Just situational football. Like there was one, he had one third down. It's about third down, six or seven. And he's back. It's man to man, him versus his guy. Drop to the sticks and sit on it. If he runs past you, grab him, get the penalty. And he dropped clear back about 12 yards off the guy. You know, just easy situational football like that where I thought we could have been better in the secondary, you know, giving up some of those extended drives there, which, you know, that's part of it too.
Let's jump back to the phones. Jerry Colquitt's joining. 865-200-5402. Those of you joining, it's and if you listen back to the replay tomorrow, it's 18 past 2 o'clock in the Eastern time zone as we lay this down. And you heard me right. All of our lines are currently jammed. Tony, do you believe this? It's 18 past 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
And all fingers. Lines are jammed, babe.
It's the Vol fingers, baby.
Man, I'm so happy it's football season again.
You want to talk, man. Let's get them on the line.
And we're here to super serve this fan
That's
base.
Right.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in. You're on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, it's Big Dog from West Tennessee.
Hey, Big Dog. Welcome in, man.
I called you a couple of years ago and told
you
that I played ball for Hakeem Freeze.
Love me some Hakeem Freeze, brother. Love me some Hakeem Freeze.
You know,
I knew what was going to happen was going to happen, and it did. So, you know, that's one of those things. I kind of imagine he might be the next A&M head coach, but we'll see what happens.
He's a pretty darn good football coach. I know that.
He is a, he's a great football coach. I'm not going to deny that. Whatever was said, but, you know, we'll see what happens. But the one thing I've got to talk about tonight that I cannot understand for the life of me, and I talked to one of my buddies that played for our team, why was Tennessee's defense playing a yard off the line of scrimmage tonight?
No, their tackles were 3 yards off the line of scrimmage. Jerry, I want your thoughts on that. I've never seen defensive tackles get 2 or 3 yards off the ball.
That was odd to me. The other thing that you guys probably noticed as well, other than just the depth of the tackle, did anybody else, you know, on the panel there, or the guest or the guest caller, did you guys also notice? I thought the first 2 or 3 series, man, our guys attacked that middle dive action, and somewhere in there, I think it was when we got hit with those fullback counters and the the backside, they call it the counter, where you know you pull the guard on the backside and then you'll hand it to the back coming out the back in there. It almost seems like when we got hit with that, that's when we almost overcompensated. We scooted our tackles back, you know, 2 yards, and also they were like two gapping. That's where you know you kind of come off and read a couple of things. And tonight is the kind of game where you can't two gap your opponent. You take the dive away, take the dive away, take the dive away. So
what?
I thought they were almost overcompensating for what Georgia Tech was able to adjust to.
Why did we not put a nose tackle? Because it seemed like we were gapping our tackles from guard to guard, but we left the middle wide open. I know we're playing a 4-3, but why in the heck would we not put a nose guard in a game like this?
I don't know. You know, they had an interesting scheme. They lined up in a 4-3 alignment. They had the two tackles early on. Just take the A gap. Just take whatever's in there. Just blow it up. And the interesting thing, Tony, is I don't know if you guys picked this up. They had the two outside backers, whichever way that option flowed. That was the guy that I think he took away the fullback. And it seemed like that was successful. And once we got hit with a couple different things, then they switched it all around. I'm going, why did you go away from that when it was successful and you were able to basically take away the, you know, the staple part of their offense? So, it was a really interesting game to watch.
Really interesting game. Go ahead, Tony Robinson.
You know what though, Jay? Run the option. You know, somebody's got the fullback, someone has the tailback, someone's got the quarterback. Now, using the option, the safety man has the pitch man. That's the man, you know, the running back. Coaches always tell them, running back, that's the only man you got to beat. You beat the safety, you're gone. And if you look, our safety had, what, 18 tackles? Or Dale Jr.?
Yeah.
Tackles?
Yeah.
Okay, but our main tackler was Mr. Batuli, our linebacker.
23 and tackles.
You know, Jay, I agree with you a lot there on that first half. We took away the offense. We took away Georgia Tech's offense. They adjusted, and they started running that power football on us, and their quarterback killed us, man. That's what was doing the damage.
You know when I knew we were in trouble, guys? Is when they had a 3rd down and 9 from our 22-yard line, and they gave the ball to that quarterback. And I mean, he got to the outside.
Yeah.
And, brother, he ran over 2 of us at the sticks to get the first. Another time when I knew we were not quite into that game was when Jennings had a chance early on to get to the sticks, and he generally plays with a meanness and a reckless abandon and ball skills, and he did not sell out to get the first down. Now, not a good sign early on in that game.
Oh yeah,
not a good sign.
Right. And another thing, now if you got 4th and 6, you don't call a 4-yard route, man.
No, you don't.
You don't call a 4-yard route.
And the receiver's got to get past the sticks.
Hey, Coach Harris would have cleaned my clock. He cleaned my clock.
Yeah.
We got 6 yards to go. Why are you throwing a 4-yard route? He would have cleaned on the sideline. I'd have been dead on the sideline.
And it may have been the first touchdown. It was one of our first drives that we scored. We got bailed out because it was third and medium, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
And Ethan Wolf caught the ball about 2 yards in front of the sticks, and he luckily was able to run a couple guys over.
Guys
and we ended up scoring
yeah.
off of that. But
yeah,
if he gets he didn't run that guy over, we're settling for a field goal.
You know, there was just so much intrigue in tonight's football game when you sit back and think about it. And isn't that why college football is just a beautiful game, guys?
It is.
But you know what? Tonight brings you – it tells you who your players are now. You know who
there's no question. You
know,
you found some guys tonight.
You found out who you got. Who your
now you lost
are.
A couple.
You lost a couple, but
Justin Martin, you're looking at him right now, going, "What is your role here, son?"
You're looking at some guys like, "Hey, some of you guys from the."
Batuli was found tonight.
Batuli, you're a player. Batuli, you're a player. You're a bowler. Justin, son, you need a little bit more pecan seasons. We gotta give it more pecan seasons. You know.
Is there anything else for us tonight?
Yeah, Tony B. You know, as a former offensive lineman, watching what Georgia Tech did, road grading our defensive line was a thing of beauty. But at the same time, you know, us getting down by 2 touchdowns against a team like that and to battle back and to end up overcoming and winning the game was also a thing of beauty. I'm not giving up on the season. I think it's 10 times better to be 1-0 against 0-1 after this game. Florida's low-hanging fruit. I think that we go out there, dominate them, have a beautiful game against them. I think the East is wide open. Bring Georgia up here, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, to be down by 2 touchdowns against a team like that tonight and the way we were playing to come back and win that game, that was like, you know, that was like an A&M UCLA type game last night against Georgia Tech. So
I had to kill them. You imagine running 93 plays and losing a football game. You imagine rushing. You imagine rushing for what they ran for tonight and us
535 yards
and right. losing
the game.
Yeah, it's a great game. Thank you, brother.
I'm quite excited. I will not sleep tonight, and I will be walking the Ric Flair strut tomorrow at work.
Thank you, my friend. And we're going to be with you every step of the way tonight. As Alex, you wanted to make a point, and then we'll jump back to the phones. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jerry, I know you've been around the game a long time. Talk about the importance and the significance and maybe what this means as a sign going forward. One thing that really impressed me about new offense coordinator Larry Scott is when you talked about, the last caller talked about, we got down early. So often you see people panic. Okay, now we got to make up because we don't know how many possessions we got. As the game went on, to me, Larry Scott got more patient, and they stuck with the run. And ultimately, the play of John Kelly and off of that run game, that's what got us back in it.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And tonight, you know, we're talking about fatigue, you know, from our this Tennessee defense. I kind of thought the same thing, just but from a different sense, just size. You know, if you think about it, at some point, those big bodies are going to start hurting those smaller defensive players that you're lining up against. So I have to applaud him for just sticking with the plan and just being basic, because, you know, from the standpoint of where we saw fatigue, I think it happened to them as well. I mean, you know, when our guys are outweighing theirs by, you know, 40, 50 pounds, then at some point, you know, those 2 and 3 yard runs are going to be, you know, 5 and 6 yard runs. So I'm really glad that they did give John Kelly, who was an outstanding back. I mean, the effort he gave tonight was crazy on some of those runs. But I'm really glad that they stuck with him and let him finish that game off for us to take it to overtime. I really am.
Which is an interesting point. It's why I'm not coaching, because I would have thought you'd have seen more Chandler tonight. And I also would have thought at some point that Garantano would have played, or as Tone likes to call him, Totano. And then what about the decision to not play, as you like to call him, Ty Shuttle, or as we like to call him and his Christian name, Shy Tuttle. But what about the decision not to play him against a team like that and live to fight another day with his gimpy extremities, Jerry? I think that's probably a good call in retrospect, because I'm not sure how much of an impact he would have had, whether he's in there or not. I mean, as it was, they played right into our hands by rushing for 535 yards. That was right. That was exactly how we designed it.
Right, and I would say the other part of that, too, is if he's not to a point where he can give us something, especially in a game like tonight. I mean, Tennessee had, like you guys talked earlier this morning, Tennessee had to win this football game. So it worries me some that he didn't get out there tonight at all. Because if he's that tender, or, you know, if there's some still lingering issues, I think he'll be a target. But it's almost like, you know, you do a more of a disservice, because the next team is going, hey, what, you know, why is this kid out there? This kid's a player. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle his situation going forward, because we definitely needed, another big body. Those guys were gas. Vickers, Johnson, McKenzie. We definitely played without a guy that we really could use tonight.
Daryl Taylor had a nice night, and I had a guy on Periscope that keeps bugging me, so I'm going to ask you guys about this. Tony, you talked about this already. Jerry, I want your thoughts. Dormady's footwork early in the football game, it wasn't how he ended the night. Elaborate, Jerry.
Yeah, like I said, I think it might have been nerves. I mean, think about it. It's basically a home game for, you know, what is a solid football program on the road, in Atlanta, unfamiliar situations. You know, it's not like this was a home opener against a far inferior opponent. So I think it was a competitive football game. They threw a couple things at him early. I don't know if you guys picked it up. You know, Tennessee is really not, Tennessee doesn't manage or allow their quarterbacks to manage the game, from under center. So I at least appreciated him. I think it was early on. They sent a free safety blitz, and he saw it, and he adjusted. He got rid of the football. He didn't throw an incompletion, but he threw it to the point where either his guy was going to catch it or no one was going to catch it. So the fact that he wasn't on point as I would like for him to be, I do think that just his awareness was there early on. There was another one that I charted, another similar situation where, you know, he could see what was going on. And I think it might have just been nerves early on there. But, I mean, you can't fault him for that. I mean, the guy played a hell of a game in some really adverse situations. He balled out. But him and Kelly, man, they came up with timely. I was charting too. He had some really timely third down execution plays where he just needed to fit it in there accurately. And he got the rhythm, man. And he was doing that over and over and over again once that third quarter hit. That was awesome to see.
865-200-5402 if you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us tonight. I'll tell you, that's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. How great of a game college football is, and to see some of these guys have all those swings that you will see in one motion. Tennessee definitely has some things to fix on defense, and it's amazing. It's absolutely, absolutely amazing to think and to see that Tennessee was able to somehow win that game tonight and really give themselves a jump start on the year. And that's really what you did tonight. What you did tonight is you're going to allow yourself the opportunity to have a quality season. Now, I want to say a word to you about something that we're doing here at the Tony Basilio Show, and it's the only reason we're able to do this is because of you. And that's that Aramachi Knoxville tailgate with the kids is coming up for the UMass weekend. And I want to get as many kids into that game as humanly possible. And last year we had 150 or so. This year we're going for 300. I mean, we're ramping this thing up. And so I want you to share your tickets to the UMass game with us. Many of these kids, incarcerated parents, they will be at their first ever Tennessee football game. Imagine how impactful that is for these young people. And I want to encourage you to please, if you can, and I've got my P.O. Box over at the website where you can just look up Tony Basilio Show P.O. Box, and I would love for you to take part in this blessing. But my P.O. Box is on the screen on our Periscope feed as well tonight. 26011, Knoxville 37912. And thank you for being here tonight. As I remind you that the Garza Law fifth quarter is free for all. Let's keep it that way. Please consider joining our T Club and help us continue to do these great works we do. And then also continue the fellowship and the community for all. That's what we want to do. I don't want to throw this stuff behind a paywall. And I could. I don't want to do that. I do not want to do that. Please go to TonyBasilio.com. And tonight, drop us a tip so I can share it with Tony. And share it with Al. And share it with Jerry. And our contributors. And keep Radio Free Tennessee alive and well. Let's, without further ado, go back to our phones. Jerry Colquitt's joining. All lines are currently jammed. Tone, a layup here before I go back to the phones. Did you like the garbage can tonight? Everybody's using these props now. Did you like the garbage can tonight, Tone? And grab that mic and pull it closer to you. Like, there you go.
In OT. I'm still trying to figure out what the garbage can is for. Is it for trash or is it something they got going on? What's going on there?
Alex, what's the garbage can for? Well, do you have any idea?
Not really, but I'm a little bit jealous because we're sitting here watching TV and they're sitting there showing Miami of Florida's got a big gold chain that looks like something out of a 90s rap video.
Yes, it does.
Okay, Texas A&M's got some sort of something that looks like something for a wizard.
Their cane.
Somebody else had something cool, and we get a trash can.
So we got a
why do we get a trash can?
What are all these gimmicks? What's going on here, man?
How about if we just play damn football?
Play some damn football.
Is that possible? I mean, can we just play football? Jerry, do you have a thought on the trash can tonight before I go back to our phones?
Didn't like it, Tony.
Oh. Go ahead.
You would like, I remember what the other one was. Somebody, I think it was Ole Miss.
Yeah.
You would like this, Tony.
Yeah.
Had an NWO championship belt along the sideline. Can we get something like that? If we're going to do a gimmick.
Did it have a dollar sign on it? Did the one at Ole Miss have a dollar sign on it? Let's go back to our
phones. They just showed it.
Did it have a dollar sign on it?
It has some. They had the platinum on it.
The diamonds and the purple. Let's get our next call in.
Ted DiBiase's money song.
Yes, the money belt. The money belt. Media. Touche to you. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, man, this is Vote for Miles down here in the Shoals area in Alabama. I just wanted to tell y'all I appreciate what you're doing for the kids for that UMass game. That's awesome. You know, it's not like this place has done a lot in the last decade to bring in some kids and some new fans. So maybe you'll make some lifelong fans out of the thing. And just going to tell y'all I appreciate what you're doing there.
It's mighty nice of you to say, look, here's the thing about what we do, and this is the absolute truth. None of it is possible, and I mean none of it, without people like you. And don't you ever forget that.
Well, man, I appreciate it. I mean, I grew up kind of rough myself and didn't get to go to any games until I got older, got on my own dime, so I get it. So I just want to tell y'all I appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, and what would it mean to those kids, right? Think about that. What would it mean to those kids?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But just the one thing I was just going to bring up about the game, and just a thought. You guys can tell me if I'm an idiot or not. Look, when your defense is getting absolutely just rolled up and smoked and you know you're not going to stop them, when you finally score, why not just come out there and kick an onside kick?
Tone, what do you think? I wouldn't have done that.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting, but I don't think so, man. You know, the offense got to pull a drive on. The offense has to keep the ball and keep your defense off the field. I mean, 40 to 40 minutes, our defense on the field.
Yeah,
man, that's a long time.
And to Alex's point,
I know what the point is. But,
our coordinator in not panicking and continuing to run the football allowed Tennessee to inevitably take control of that football game. And what you're talking about, with all due respect, is a little bit of panic. And I don't know, man.
It wasn't time. It wasn't that time. And then again, like I say, you know, the defense. Even though they got ran through, but they came up at the right time.
Well, that's right. And here's the other thing for you down in Alabama. The thing that doesn't make much sense about tonight's game is that you're right. They did get rolled up and smoked, and I like that term. Yet at the same time, they made the play
at
the end.
That's it.
That they made the play at the end.
Right. I just thought, you know, I don't know that Butch Jones has done any kind of fake punt. Some kind of little pooch on site.
Doesn't have it in him.
Probably not done anything.
He doesn't have it in him. No, he doesn't have it in him. But Butch Jones, you know what Butch Jones is? And it take me 5 years to figure this out. I'm a little slow. He's a guy that looks like he should be super cool and super aggressive. And he comes across that way with the way, you know, at first he talks. He's more conservative than Johnny Majors. I mean, that's just the deal with him. He is as old school can get, and there's just not a lot of imagination there with him. I mean, look at the way he uses his roster. It's just the way it is.
Look what we found. Batuli.
Batuli. Hanging around Batuli. Somewhere. Yeah, it's true.
Well, right on, fellas. Like I said, it was just a thought. I just figured nobody would have ever seen it coming. You just think he could, you know, Sean Payton said if you're ever going to win the whole thing, you got to have a pair. It'd just be nice if he would show me that he's got one every now and then, but. I appreciate what you're doing, guys.
Thank you. Yeah. But here's the thing about modern college football. He ain't trying to win a championship. He's trying to win 8 games and keep his job. And that's a difference, Jerry, right? That's a difference.
Yeah, and this is a year where, like we said, this program can't afford to win 6-7 games this year. You know, all these ball fans have gotten used to 8-9. Wins, regular season, we know we're trying to get to 10, to turn this thing around. And, I just feel like tonight was one where, you know, overall, even though you're playing, versus a very good, Georgia Tech program, but you know, overall, they're at a point, although we lost all those guys to the league last year, there's still a lot of talent on this football team. And when you have progressed your program in the right direction, sometimes it's just a matter of keeping things in front of you, not trying to get too cute, and just let, you know, your bigger team go out there and just, you know, grind one out. And tonight was the perfect night.
Perfect.
Where I'm glad they did that, and I'm glad they didn't put Garantano in there. I would have been disappointed not to just let the team win that game. I mean, you saw when they made it easy and then just let the players take over. I thought that happened.
I walk up to Tony and I said, "Would you think about changing quarterbacks tonight at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse as we had our listener watch party?" And Tony said to me, "Are you nuts?" He said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Well, you know, Tone, just to kind of change the pace."
No.
And Tony says, "Absolutely not. No." He said, where's this game going? And I said, just to kind of change the pace. And Tony said, he just looked at me and said, that's idiotic, man. And Tony, you were right.
Yeah. I mean, my man, Dorman, he was playing a good game. He's controlling the game, but, you know, we're hit and miss. Second half. He got comfortable in the pocket. He's moving around a little bit.
Yeah, he still threw a couple balls up for grabs, guys.
He threw
on the quadruple coverage one time.
Oh yeah, I see him throw the ball. It was about 4 guys around. Around Jennings, he's throwing the ball. But
no question,
he's targeting Jennings.
Now, Jennings is a playmaker.
So he's a playmaker. But now, we got 2 playmakers here. Hopefully, Jawan's not hurt so seriously he can't play next week. But. Now, I think our offense, we got more weapons now. We got more weapons to work with now.
You know? What did you make, Jerry, of Callaway's play tonight and how he showed some serious ball skills on a couple plays?
I mean, that kid's got some serious talent. And I thought, you know, tonight, especially in the situation that this team was to put in, the offensive team, late in that game, to compensate for a struggling defense. I thought it was huge of him to step up the way he did, and, you know, not even bat an eye. First time out on the field really for the Vols. Brand new group of wide receivers. So, going forward, to me, you know, the kind of statement he made was, hey, like, when the chips are down, and they need a guy that they can go to, I guarantee, just like Tony said, going forward, when Dorman Lee gets into a tight spot, I guarantee you he's going to that number one when he needs his guy to make a play for him. So it was nice to see him to step up big tonight.
Well, Jerry, you know, not only just one, he's got two now. He's got two playmakers. You know what I'm saying? He's got two playmakers now, so it's going to be real, very interesting to see what defenses do now. You know, if you notice early in the game, he was targeting Juwan a lot. And, you know, threw the ball a few times to Wolf and this and that. But now, Callaway's come around.
Oh, my God, you can just say
and
it.
I tell you, oh, my God, man.
He can play, dude.
Hey, I tell you, this kid's a beast, man. This kid's a beast. He's one of my bowlers. He's one of my bowlers.
Let's go back to the phones, get our next call in. When Tony names you a baller, you're a baller. I've never been named a baller. 865-200-5402.
You're a big time baller, T.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony.
Yeah, go right ahead, please.
Is that me?
That is you, my friend.
I'm Bobby Phillips, Jackson, Tennessee.
Hey, Bobby, welcome.
I just want to say I'm proud of them. You know, they fought hard. They could have lost. Sergeant Carter did his best. He just doesn't know his men. They're not gomers. But it's a fun team. And, you know, hell, he's a cop. That's all I'm saying. Stoops is a fluke. You know, he had Bandy a couple of years. I don't know what happened. It was probably the head coach that made him better. All I got to say is I'm so proud and so great to have Tony Robinson, Gary Colquitt on your line. It's killing me. From Jackson, Tennessee, and go Big Orange, and good God almighty, let's get better. Good night.
Tony, how did he refer? Thank you, Bobby Jackson and Jackson. How did he refer to Butch Jones, Tony. I'm gonna see if you're paying attention.
Sergeant Carter
looks just like
it. Oh man, he hit it on the head, man.
Yep. And Vince Sutton dated a girl. He when in the Sergeant Carter days, he dated a girl from Clinton, Tennessee, and was seen in these parts an awful lot, foreshadowing what was to come. 865-200-5402. I'm not kidding you. He dated a girl from Clinton, Tennessee. You want to crack, Al?
I got some friends over there. I'll refer.
I'll pass.
He dated a girl from Clinton, Tennessee. I'm not making that up. 865-200-5402. Jerry has some friends in Clinton, Tennessee as well. Maybe even a few, shall we say, ladies back in the day. Jerry gets it done. Let's get back to the phones. Get our next call in.
hey, that cattleman stomping ground over there.
865-200-5402. If you want to jump in, and we've got lines available for the first time tonight. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
This is Ben from Jackson, Tennessee.
Ben, welcome in, man.
Well, Tony Robinson was one of my biggest heroes. I'm about 44 years old, and that 84-5 game against Auburn, my first memories. I still have that Sports Illustrated with a Rocky Top Waltz, so I just want to give Tony that amazing year we had with the Sugar Balls. Let him know that.
Well, that goes back to my memory, how far I go back.
I just think tonight was one of the games that I've never seen in over 30 years. I thought that we had a chance to win, and winning it was amazing.
So, crazy, man. And look, two nights in a row, if you're a Texas A&M fan last night, you have got to be sick to your stomach to think about college football. You're a Tennessee fan tonight. I mean, yeah, tonight was a little upsetting, and it was unsettling. But how do you possibly, or if you're a Georgia Tech fan, for instance, how do you wake up tomorrow and go, we lost a game where we rushed for 535 yards. We had 655 yards of total offense. And that's what I'm going to tell you, man. To me, that's why, and look, the pro game has its place. There's no doubt. College football, to me, is king for that reason. It is just king. It's so unpredictable.
I give Larry Scott credit for sticking to the run when we were down 14.
Yep.
Deep in our territory. John Kelly played a great game, and I thought our line started to put our will to the game. I thought that's the reason why the coach for Georgia Tech went for two, is because we became unstoppable like they were for most of the game.
No doubt about it. And the script
flipped.
We were
imposing our will finally.
It's such a great point, because here's what he knew. I don't have a kicker. So right. I've got to end this thing anyway. The longer this thing goes, the more this cat's going
to
come into play. And we don't have a kicker on our sidelines.
And he wants to take him out of play. He doesn't want that to come into play.
I mean, it's in a weird way, a guy like Paul Johnson, and he had a great kicker for all those years, the last several years, but he got caught flat-footed tonight. They got totally beat in the kicking game. Go ahead, Al.